till the time we go to bed at night. We need water to sustain us. Sometimes the first thing we do is maybe get a drink of water to take our medication. Maybe we jump into the shower to cleanse our bodies. We use water to brush our teeth. We use water to wash our clothes. We use water in so many different ways. In life, it's a necessity. And it has been so since the beginning of time. We remember in the Garden of Eden, all that there was there. And there was certainly water provided by God for human beings. Throughout the Bible, water has plays a vital role in God's people and how they traveled about and how God provided for them. And water in the Bible is spoken of spiritually also. It's used spiritually to teach lessons. When Jesus was baptized in the river by John, when God's people, after being in captivity in Egypt for 400 years, came to the Red Sea, God parted the water so that they could cross. And then in His own way, God baptized the Egyptians when they tried to follow God's own people. Water determined where people settled as they were traveling about, traveling west in the United States. Wherever they traveled, the early settlers settled according to where there was a good source of water, a good source of supply of water. Not all water was pure. There were many places they would find water, and they had to determine whether it was fit to drink or not. But lo and behold, when they found a good place with a good supply of water, there would be a settlement. And that's the case for Elamsport. That's its history. There were many springs here, and the people settled here. Well, in Jesus' day, there were many springs, there were many wells. And as people would travel on the roads of that day, these roads would pass by these wells. This was pretty deliberate, that the road system was designed so that there were wells along the way. And one of the famous wells was Jacob's Well. And it tells us in our story today that Jesus was going north to Galilee. And He had to go through Samaria. Samaria was that country in Palestine that was between Galilee to the north and Judea to the south. Was where those ugly Samaritans were. If you don't know anything about the Samaritans, what happened back in the early days, the Assyrians captured Israel, the northern tribes, and the king of the Assyrians, he carried some of the Israelites off into captivity, he repopulated that area with other peoples that had been conquered by the Assyrians. So it was sort of a cultural mix, so to speak. So the Jews never really considered the people there in Samaria pure Jews, and you can imagine what that meant to them. There was fighting among them. This is a place that many Jews didn't go. They'd go around Samaria because they considered the Samaritans dogs. But Jesus, going north, went through Samaria. And He came to this town called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as He was from the journey, sat down by the well at about noon. His disciples had gone into town to buy food. So there Jesus was sitting, and here came this Samaritan woman. Now there was two things wrong with this situation. First of all, she was a woman, which was taboo in that day for the men and the women to converse in the way that Jesus did with her. Secondly, she was a Samaritan. So she had two things in the culture of that day against her. But Jesus spoke to her and said, "Will you give me a drink? Will you give me a drink?" Now, understand, this well of Jacob was approximately 100 feet deep and approximately 9 feet in diameter. It's a huge thing there along this roadway that Jesus came to and asked for a drink. We read about this in Genesis chapter 33, that Jacob bought this plot of ground, had this well on. This is where he pastured his sheep, his flocks, and all of his animals, and gave them water from there. Jesus says to the woman, "Will you give me a drink?" And she says, "Well, how can you ask me? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman." And Jesus took this opportunity to explain to her who he really was. He said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, I want to talk about this living water thing here a little bit. In the Bible, when it talks about living water, it's talking about life-giving water. You know, not all water is living. This water is actually dead water. It's stagnant. It's not moving. Living water, biblically, was water that had life to it, moving, freshness, and gave life. We read about it back in our reading today from Isaiah. Talking about the day of the Lord, when the day would come and set up his millennial kingdom, when the root of Jesse would stand as a banner for the peoples. In that day, the Lord says, you will say, I praise you, O Lord. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. When Jeremiah spoke about this, the Lord declares, my people have committed two sins. They've forsaken me, the spring of living water. And they've dug their own cisterns. What he was doing was saying that his people had forsaken him. They've gone for nourishment, refreshment, and strength to another source other than God, who God himself calls the spring of living water. Later in Jeremiah, talking about Judah's sin, those who turn away from you will be written in dust, because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. So you see, to the people of that day, God was known as the spring of living water from which life, energy, joy, providence, refreshment came from God. He was the source. And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. He would have given you life, refreshment, hope. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with and the well's deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? And Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Now, I want you to think about what's going on here. We hear a lot of stories about Jesus and the Samaritan woman, how he walked up to someone who was despised by a lot of people and openly talked to her and accepted her. But there's more, there's something much deeper in this. And it's the well that we're talking about. She's going to Jacob's well that has supplied water for these people for years and years and years. And Jesus comes and says, I have better water. I have living water. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm the better source. I'm the better well. Everyone who drinks this water out of Jacob's well will be thirsty. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, Jesus says, the water I give him will become in him. The water that I give to that person will become in that person a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, in John chapter 7, when he was talking about this, he said, all who believe in me will have springs of life flowing from him. All who believe in me. Now I want to talk about this spring of water and the well of water. Jesus is telling this woman that in the way that you come to this well for refreshment and sustenance, if you come to me and whoever comes to me, not only will you be filled up, you will be filled up forever. There will be an everlasting flow of refreshment, and it will well up to eternal life. In the Greek language, the word well. Pege has the idea of gushing, like a fount. Gushing. In other words, it's a source or a supply. And that's really interesting because Webster's Dictionary, first of all, describes a spring as a source or supply. Jesus said, indeed, the water I give him, what I give to that person will become in him a source or a supply that will just simply well up to eternal life and overflow from that person. John 7:37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Whoever believes in me, as the Scriptures said, streams of living water will flow from that person. Whoever drinks from Christ, from the well of Christ, receives such an everlasting flow that it flows out of them and affects everyone around them. Let's talk about a spring for a little bit. What's the source of a spring? The spring gets its water from something more deep, something down in the depths of the earth. As the Christian gets their strength from something much deeper, and that is Christ, through the Holy Spirit. And as the water flows up into the spring, it creates a cistern or a well. And its purpose is to water the land, to water the animals. A lot of the animals come to it. And in the old days, a lot of human beings came to it. Now, today, we drill wells to get our water. But either way, water comes from a deeper source. And sadly, today, people are choosing other sources to get their refreshment and their strength and their sustenance from, and those sources are contaminated. That's why many are dying spiritually today. That's why our churches are empty today. We come back on Sunday to the well to receive living water. We come back to Christ to hear Christ's words to us, His guidance and His providence to us. And He says, whoever comes to me and receives the water that I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Beatitudes was teaching them, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to ask you today, are you thirsty? Are you just feeling a little dry maybe? Just a little bit like you need something to just give you that extra boost along the way. You have drunk from Christ. Christ the source. Christ should be flowing literally from you. Do people see us as a well? Do they see us as a place to come to for refreshment and strength and to be renewed? Is that the kind of people we are? That's what He wants us to be. Because if we've really truly drunk from the source of Christ Himself, it should literally bubble up out of us and flow out of us to eternal life. We should be, as Christians, little Christs, we should be little wells and sources or supplies of hope, of joy, of love, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the fruits of the Spirit that flow out of those who have drunk from Christ and received the everlasting drink that only Jesus can provide. Yes, Jesus did come to this woman. It was taboo for him to do so. In a certain way, he would have defiled himself by being around this woman. But you see what Jesus is trying to say to her and to us today. I'm the better well. I'm the better well. If you knew what God has given you and who I truly am, you would have come to me and received all that you need to sustain you on your journey of life. You will never be dry again in Christ Jesus. You see, in the Gospels, we see a lot of these stories. We see Jesus teaching in parables. We see Jesus teaching metaphorically. But ultimately, this isn't about us. It isn't about the woman. It's about the fact that Jesus wants us to know that He is the best well, the best place, that He's not contaminated, that He's pure, and that He's our only source of strength to the very end. Let me give you a little example, and then I'll close. Back in the mid-70s, when I was racing motorcycles, there was this one particular course up in the northern part of the state. I think the loop in the woods was around 5 miles long, and the race was 2 hours long. So we go on this course 5 miles through the wood, and as I went there the first time to race, as we'd come around by the pits, we could get gas, we could get whatever we needed. And of course, I was not prepared at that point. So every other time around, I'd stop to get a drink because I couldn't stand it anymore. And lo and behold, I didn't do so well that day. I wasn't, as they say, on the podium at the end of the day. So we went back home. And we realized that having to stop and get refreshment over and over was not helping to win. So we devised a thing that was one of the old army type canteens that hung in its own little pouch, and we devised a pipe that came up through, and we duct taped it and pinned it onto my jersey, and it stuck right here. So that once the race started, I had a quart of liquid with me, and whenever I needed, I could reach down and stick it in my mouth and drink from it the whole time. In other words, the drink was with me. The refreshment was with me the whole time. And a month later, I walked home with the pewter mug in first place. Because rather than having to stop over and over again, I took the refreshment with me and carried it with me everywhere that I went that day. All along, whenever I needed, all I had to do was bow my head and take a drink from Christ and was refreshed. You see what Jesus was saying? I'm the better well. I'm the better refreshment. I'm the place to come when you need refreshment. We need water every day of our lives physically, but we also need it spiritually even more so. So as we shower to cleanse ourselves, we remember the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. As we drink water to refresh us inside and to revive us and restore us, we remember that Jesus spiritually inside us restores us and refreshes us and carries us along. From every drop that we drink, every little bit that sprays on us, remember that Jesus is the better well, the better source, the pure source of refreshment in our lives that will never, ever go dry. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father, we just are just so pleased to have a God who goes with us and the Holy Spirit. Even though we have forgotten to drink deeply from your well from time to time, you're always with us, offering us your best and offering us refreshment. We just need to take the time to turn to you, to bow our heads and remember that you are with us, that you're the better source of all that we need in life, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to guide us and guard us on our journey until we reach our heavenly home. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, our final hymn this morning, we're turning to the Dark Blue Hymnals, number 723. Let's stand and sing together.